Hi, good morning. Todd Zwillick here, filling in for John. John is in Denver all week. He'll be live from KUVO in Denver tomorrow. He's in the Mile High City all week. In Baghdad now, over the weekend, a series of highly coordinated suicide bombings directed at diplomatic interests killed at least 30 people. Now, this comes as political jostling continues as different parties try to form a coalition government. The elections are complete, but nobody got a majority, and you have Kurdish interests, Sunni interests, and Shiite interests, of course, the old factions in Iran, still jostling to form a government that can unify the country. Now, one of the main targets of the violence was not any party, but the embassy of neighboring Iran, which appears to be playing a significant role since last month's elections. Three bombs went off there. Senator Joe Lieberman said the attacks were a direct response to Iran's involvement in Iraq.
I think what you've got to see these bombings as is a desperate attempt by the people who don't want a unified Iraq that's independent of Iran and self-governing and self-protecting to take hold.
Senator Joe Lieberman on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. So what will the post-election period in Iraq look like now that violence is back on the scene? Rod Nordland from the New York Times is back with us, and we're also joined by Hamid Dabashi, professor of Iranian studies at Columbia University. Rod, what do you think of Senator Joe Lieberman's assessment that this is, well, he used the word desperate, that's a qualifier, but this is an attempt to take a stab at people who don't want a unified and independent Iraq?
Well, you know, this term desperate, they've been throwing that around for years,
sure.
You know, the last desperate gasp of the insurgents and everything else. A couple things are striking. First of all, that they chose an Iranian target. You know, Iran has been very much in the news in an attempt to bring the Shia and the Kurds together to make a majority against Ayatollahi, who many of whose supporters are Sunnis. And this is al-Qaeda's way of trying to win favor with the Sunnis and also to show them their back and they're willing to fight on their side and so on. And the other thing is that it's important to note, I think, is that this was a very major investment of resources on their part. There were three car bombs that went off, but it was actually five car bombs, one that was intercepted, one that blew up prematurely. Which is a lot in one day. That was a lot even back in 07 in the worst days. That would have been a lot. And there were mortar attacks and rocket attacks. And there was a big al-Qaeda operation on Friday where they posed as American soldiers and used that ruse to assassinate 25 sons of Iraq opponents. So they've invested a lot in trying to stir things up and to show that they're still in the scene.
So investing a lot in doing that. And Rod Nordland, how do Sunnis, I know you can't quantify all of their opinions, but how do Sunnis generally feel when this type of violence is designed to show them that somebody's still protecting their interests? Do they feel emboldened by that, or do they reject this kind of politics?
I think most people reject it, but you know, if they see themselves being disenfranchised, if they have a feeling maybe that the Shia with the intercession of the Iranians are ganging up on them, then with some people that will resonate, definitely. Mostly what you hear from Sunnis and Shia alike now is anger at their government that they continue not to be able to stop this sort of violence from occurring. Those suicide bombs got past, you know, four or more checkpoints and without being searched.
And talked their way past.
Tremendous security lapse.
And even talked their way past, as you point out in your stories. Well, Rob Nordland for the New York Times, stay with us. I want to turn to Hamid Dabashi at Columbia University, Iranian expert. Hamid, Rod Nordland says that al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia, al-Qaeda in Iraq, in other words, is trying to send a message to Sunnis that they're defending them against Shiites and by inference Iranian influence. Does Iran have something to gain by this violence, a destabilized Iraq?
I really don't think so. One has to make a distinction between a genuine, legitimate domestic Sunni interest in the region and the troubles that al-Qaeda want to make. And also the Islamic Republic of Iran is very much interested to have influence with the Shi'i community in particular. And as a result, what we are witnessing is whatever degree of influence Iran has in the region is with manipulating, as Rod just said, a coalition in the formation of the new government, in which the Shiites have a major role, and through the Shiites, Iranians have an Iraqi influence. And also, as to who is exactly responsible for this latest carnage, according to BBC, in fact, BBC mentions nothing about Al-Qaeda. What BBC identifies as Islamic State in Iraq, which is an umbrella militant Sunni Islamic insurgents within Iraq.
Okay.
In other words, there are two factors. One is the legitimate facts on the ground, ethnic diversions within Iraqi country, and the other is the troubles that come its way, either from the Iranian government or from Al-Qaeda. But
well,
these are two different sorts.
Well, Hamid Dabashi, we spoke with Stephen Kinzer, the author of All the Shah's Men, about Iran. I want you to listen to what he said about the relationship between Iran and Iraq.
Iran and Iraq are natural partners. Many of the principal leaders of Iraq today spent years, and in some cases even decades, living in Iran during the Saddam dictatorship. Now they've gone back to Iraq. Naturally, they feel a close connection to Iran. By removing Saddam through our invasion of Iraq, we effectively turned that whole country over to Iran, and we're seeing the result of that now.
That comment, Hamid Dabashi, suggests that Sunnis in Iraq have something to fear.
Of course they do. Remember, the relationship between the Shiites in Iran and Iraq is mutual. When during the Shah's time, many authorities of Iranian were actually in Iraq, like Ayatollah Khomeini, and then under Saddam Hussein, many Shi'i authorities were in Iran. The relationship goes back. Iran has a regional interest in Iraq, as it does in Lebanon and Palestine and Afghanistan. And over the last 9 months, because of the presidential election, Iran has been distracted by its domestic issues. But now, obviously, they're trying to take the theater of operation back into the region where they are more powerful.
All right. Well, amid all this violence, gentlemen, one thing that struck me in all the stories I read of violence over the weekend, utter silence from American military commanders in Iraq as the U.S. fades into the background trying to leave in September. Very few comments on this violence from American interests there. Rob Norlin from The New York Times joined us from Baghdad, and Hamid Dabashi, professor of Iranian studies at Columbia. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us this morning.